And Ade's going to come and bring our Bible reading to us.
Good morning. We're going to be reading from the book of James, the whole of chapter 1. And it's in the New International Version of the Church Bible. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test of that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you will speak and minister deeply to our hearts and minds. Help us to do what that reading tells us, not just to be hearers of the word, but to do what it says. Lord, bring your word to life to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're starting a new series looking at the book of James. Now it's widely believed that the James who wrote this letter was not the disciple who is the brother of John, but was actually James, the brother of Jesus. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, held a key role in the church in Jerusalem throughout the first 30 years of Christianity. And he wrote this letter as a practical book to help all believers in the outworking of their faith. Rather than as Paul wrote his letters, as we've been looking at in Philippians, he often wrote to a specific church to deal with particular issues. But James is a general letter, and it's all about practical advice of how to live as a believer. As you may have noticed from our reading, James has quite a sharp way of saying things. And at first glance, he seems to jump quickly from one theme to another with very little explanation. But as you look deeper, there is usually a much bigger picture behind the verses that holds them all together and enables James to make his point. So we start our series today with chapter 1 and those wonderful verses in verse 2 where James says to us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." So how does that make you feel when you hear those words? Are you encouraged? Are you challenged? Or do you want to turn around and say, "Hang on a minute, James, get real. Who would ever find trials and challenges a joyful experience?" I want to begin with these verses because I think they set the scene for the whole of this chapter, but also because I think they are very easily misunderstood and misquoted. And it's important to properly understand what James means and what he's not saying. Perhaps you, like many Christians I know, have been through a painful and challenging situation in life. At times like that, you can feel like you're hanging on to your faith by a thread. And then someone helpfully comes along and tells you to consider it to pure joy. So cheer up, because you must be doing something right if you're going through such a tough time. Now, although those words are usually offered with the best of intentions, I have to say, I don't think that that is what James is meaning here at all. Firstly, there's a very big difference between being happy and being joyful. Happiness is a mood or emotion that stems from an experience. You might feel happy because someone has encouraged you, or because you've been on holiday, maybe because you've achieved something, or perhaps just because the sun is shining. Joy is a characteristic that you choose to develop and exercise despite the circumstances. Just as you might try to show patience in a situation, or you might try to show love when you don't particularly feel like it. So being joyful doesn't mean walking around with a smile on your face and pretending everything's okay when it's not. In fact, often joy is hardest when life is challenging, and in order to be truly joyful, you have to begin by acknowledging that things actually aren't great in the first place. The joy that James is referring to then doesn't mean that we pretend what we're going through is enjoyable or pretend that the pain doesn't affect us or hurt us in any way. On the contrary, it's from recognizing the difficulties and hurt that we experience, and in that place, choosing to trust in Jesus and have faith in him because of the result that will come. It's from that place that we're able to experience joy. Now, that isn't an easy thing to do, but by telling us to consider it pure joy, or in another translation, to count it as all joy, James is effectively saying, throughout the pain and difficulties that you're facing, keep on trusting in Jesus. and choose to see these challenges in the light of what is to come. And what is the result? It is, as verse 4 tells us, that we might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, at the start of his letter, James is writing to believers everywhere to encourage them to grow in their faith and maturity as believers. Life as a Christian is not about a one-off moment in time when we choose to make a decision to follow Jesus. It's an ongoing journey or pilgrimage during which we are drawing closer to God, being transformed by his Spirit to reflect him through our lives, and growing in our spiritual maturity. Now, during this ongoing journey, we, like everyone else, will encounter pain, sadness, and difficulties. I've heard some people say that life as a Christian is easy, as if somehow once you start following Jesus, you become immune to problems. But we all know that isn't true. In fact, life as a Christian is often seen to be more of a challenge because some difficulties are encountered simply because you are a Christian. James is very honest about this. He says, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. That's pretty definite, isn't it? Life is hard for everyone at times. Difficulties and pain can suddenly creep up on you and there's nowhere to hide. And at that moment, you are faced with a choice. You can choose to withdraw from God, maybe even blame him and face the difficulties on your own. Or you can choose to face the challenges with God and to persevere through the trials rather than submitting to the circumstances. Ultimately, James is telling us that the challenges will be there either way, but we should not give in to them. Instead, we should keep trusting in Jesus and persevere through them, knowing that as we do, we will be growing in maturity as believers. Our relationship with Jesus will then grow stronger as we persevere through the difficulties and we learn how to live consistently for Christ. And it's with that focus that we can experience joy throughout the trials. So how do we keep on trusting in Jesus as we persevere through life's challenges? After all, it sounds like a great plan. But the reality is, it's tough. When you're in the midst of pain and difficulties, it's hard to even imagine a day when life won't be like that, let alone consider that one day things will be so different and we will have grown and changed as a result. The thought of a distant reward is sometimes not always enough to get us through the challenges, and life can seem like such a mess. And even at those times when we do sense there is a bigger plan at work, we still have to endure, but we also need the strength to make the right decisions to get through it. And yet we can feel stuck. We know there's a big plan, but we don't know to go that way or that way. What is the best thing to do? In all of these situations, ultimately, James is telling us what we need is wisdom. He told us in verse 4 that our goal is to be spiritually mature, not lacking in anything. And then he goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Now, the wisdom that James is talking about here is more than having an understanding about something. It's wisdom to see the whole of life as serving God's purpose. It's also wisdom to be able to make the right decisions when we're persevering through the trials. This kind of wisdom is a gift from God, but it's a gift that we can receive because we can ask God for it. And God is a generous God and he wants to help us. As James is encouraging us to grow in wisdom, we then get to another verse which I think can also be easily misunderstood and misquoted. James writes in verse 6 that when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And he goes on to say that the one who doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So what does he mean by this? Well, I have to say, I don't believe that James is saying that it is wrong to ever have doubts. Actually, I think the longer you've been a Christian, quite often, the more doubts that you have. Because the more you know, the more you realise you don't know. If you look at the Psalms, they are filled with people crying out to God and shouting their questions at him. Doubting in itself is not wrong. What's more important is what you do with your doubts. I honestly believe that God is big enough to handle every single one of our doubts and questions and worries and uncertainties. The important thing is that we take them to him rather than isolate ourselves from him. When James is talking about not doubting, he doesn't appear to be talking about these kind of doubts. He's talking about those times when we're in two minds as to what we should do. In particular, it's doubting whether we actually, honestly want to trust in God. Do we really want God's wisdom to make the right decision? Or would we rather not know and make an easier choice? Are we committed in reaching that end goal? Or would we rather just give up? In other words, James isn't talking about an intellectual kind of doubt. He's talking about our spiritual commitment and whether we are completely devoted to Jesus. These words from James are very practical and very real. We all know that life can be tough, and it can be hard to choose to trust Jesus when you can't see the way forward. Like a wave on the sea, we can be blown about by other forces, and there's a danger we will just keep changing direction. And at those times, James encourages us to depend even more on God. Trust in who you know him to be. Ask for his wisdom and persevere through the trials. Growing in wisdom means learning to see ourselves in the light of what is true and keeping our eyes on the goal. And growing in wisdom also enables us to see things as they really are and keep our priorities right. This then will help us to grow in our spiritual maturity. And whether we're going through challenging times or not, we are all called to grow as we live for God and put his word into practice. James writes in verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Now that verse actually links back to verse 19, where James says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Although it sounds like James is talking just about relationships with one another, the listening part of that instruction actually refers to God's word. What James is saying is that we should be keen to hear the word of God, to learn about God's ways and values and purposes for our lives. But then God's word should change us, and that therefore leads to action. It isn't enough for us to read through a chapter of our Bible every morning if we then walk out and forget what it says. It isn't enough for us to sit through church on a Sunday if we don't apply God's word to our lives. We can have all of the knowledge in the world, but if we're not putting it into practice, then we're really missing the point. James is encouraging all believers to grow in spiritual maturity through trusting in God in every season of life and learning to live for him in every circumstance. He reminds us in verse 25 that the perfect law, which is the word of God, gives freedom. That's because it enables us to live the life that we were designed for, because as people, we've been created in God's image. And it's because obedience to the law brings life and power to us as it expresses the life of freedom for which Jesus brought us through his death on the cross. Now, that freedom impacts not just our relationship with Jesus, but also our relationships with one another. James picks up on a lot of these themes later in his book, and in particular will expand more on the power of words to one another. But for now, he warns us to be slow to speak and slow to become angry and keep a tight rein on our tongues. What he wants us to do instead is to focus our actions and our attitudes on others by following the example of Jesus in his love and his compassion and living for him every moment of every day. So as we reflect on the first chapter of the letter of James, I want to ask you a question. What is your life with God like at the moment? Do you feel like you're moving forward and growing as a Christian into maturity? Because that is the goal that is set before every one of us. And if you're facing challenges in life at the moment, I want to encourage you to trust in God and in all you know him to be. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on him and know that he's faithful, and persevere in your faith in him. Whatever life is like right now, ask God to give you wisdom to be able to apply what you know to life and to make the right decisions in order to fulfill his purposes. See every day as a new opportunity to live for God, not just through growing closer to him, but by putting his words into practice, modeling his values and making a difference. And you will then continue to grow into spiritual maturity. Let's take a moment of quiet as we reflect on God's word to us this morning, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, I want to thank you this morning that you love us and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, I pray for us today, those of us that feel that we're right in the midst of the trials and the challenges and we just can't see the way forward. Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength that we need to persevere. Help us to keep on trusting in you. And Lord, I pray that you will give each of us more wisdom to be able to see your plan and purposes at work and to be able to know what to do in taking the right step forward. And Lord, for each of us, I pray that you will encourage us and help us to know that we are putting your word into practice every day. I pray that it won't be something that we know in our heads, but we know it in our hearts and we live it out. And I pray that through our witness, others might come to know you and come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.